Welcome back in the zone. We will be getting some highlights for you from LeBron James and others, especially those disappointed by
Frank Vogel.
Yes, the loss yesterday. The poor Indiana Pacers almost pulled off a big game one win, but it was not to be. It was not to be as they lose last night in disappointing fashion, in really inexplicable fashion at the end last night, giving up a layup. Very surprising. I do want to give a special Thursday game ball to LeBron James. So big game for the King last night, including the game-winning layup at the end. We go to the Revolution Hotline, where Ethan Noroff is standing by, BleacherReport.com. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
Good, thanks.
We're sitting here. We've been scratching our heads trying to figure out why Roy Hibbert, while available, was not in the game at the end last night. Do you have a good answer?
I do not. Your max player on the bench, one of the best defenders, especially at the rim in the entire league. You know, the Heat are a very difficult matchup defensively when they have five shooters on the floor and a primary playmaker in LeBron, but you have to have Hibbert in the game in that situation.
Yeah, I guess his argument was, he said something to the effect of, I read, he was worried about the matchup with Bosch. And I'm thinking, bro, nobody is going to touch the ball and nobody's going to get a shot except for LeBron. I mean, Dwayne Wayne wasn't even in the game. I mean, this is the easiest play to defend ever. You know exactly who's going to get it. I mean, LeBron's not easy to defend.
Him or Allen, one of the other.
But you know who's going to get it. Well, he was going to get the shot.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in that situation. So I don't know what he was. I think he just overthought the situation, Skosh.
I think there was an element of that for sure, a little bit of outthinking himself. But I think it's also important, you know, Bosch has proven to be effective from the perimeter, especially corner threes this year, and having Hibbert guard him or try and challenge LeBron if LeBron were to pull up for a jump shot would be an equally difficult task for Hibbert. So, you know, for me, I think the key thing that a lot of people aren't talking about is LeBron's willing role as a passer and how good he is as a passer kind of allowed him to waltz into the lane, and I think that's what Vogel was thinking about also. He didn't want anyone to beat him, not named LeBron. So I would agree that, you know, a lot of overthinking, and I think we'll have Roy Hibbert in the game down the stretch in every other game in the series.
I think that's probably true. Well, I will say this, you know, give Indiana credit. George with 27, West with 26, Hibbert had 19, and even Psycho T, Tyler Hansbrough, had 10 points in the game last night. The one thing I take away from it last night, we'll see how they are mentally, as far as bouncing back, but we got exactly what we expected in that Indiana can very much compete head-to-head with this Miami Heat team.
Absolutely, and you know, if you remember last season's playoffs, part of the series against the Pacers was played without Chris Bosh when he had that abdominal injury, but this is a team we've seen can play with the Miami Heat and at times present the Miami Heat problems. The difference with the Heat this season is that they have Chris Birdman Anderson. They have Ray Allen now on their bench, and Shane Battier has obviously played a much larger role as well. But to me, you know, this is the Pacers team that's capable of beating the Heat. I'm just not sure they're capable of beating the Heat 4 out of 7 times.
Yeah.
Ethan Noroff joining us from BleacherReport.com. And so, I mean, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, especially when if they can find a way to win one like they did last night, you know, they're an overwhelming favorite to win this series and then win the whole thing. Can you make a strong argument for Indiana at this point? I mean, do you feel like they have a even a 50-50 chance to maybe get in there?
I think they have a chance to make it interesting, but I just don't see this team capable of beating the Heat 4 out of 7 times. Like you said, almost everything came out right last night for the Pacers except for that last-second play. Roy Hibbert was a factor except in the final few seconds. David West was electric offensively. Paul George had a great game. So it seems like they need to play really almost the perfect brand of basketball just to stay in the game. And that's a really, really tough loss to bounce back from. It reminds me of the double overtime loss the Warriors suffered to the Spurs last round. And that's going to be really difficult for the Pacers to recover from. But, you know, Miami's just simply too good in my book. They're the prohibitive title favorites.
You know, it's interesting with Indiana, too, that they're doing this without Granger. And it's somewhat similar to what Memphis did a couple of years ago when Rudy Gay was out. And the fact that they were able to actually play well in the postseason without a guy that's considered by many to be their best player. What do you think he would have brought to this team? Or do you think that maybe it's an addition by subtraction situation and guys who wouldn't have gotten, you know, the opportunities they're getting or are rising the occasion, maybe helping this team win?
I think that's definitely an element of it. You know, the addition by subtractions when you've got guys like Paul George, I mean, he was well on his way to becoming a superstar going into this year, regardless of what Danny Granger was going to do. So I look at more of a guy like Lance Stephenson, who's really stepped up and delivered in a starting shooting guard role. A guy like George Hill, who not many were sold on as a full-time starting point guard, has really solidified his spot in that lineup. So everyone's kind of stepped up and, you know, replaced Granger, for lack of a better term. But I just think the Pacers finally have an identity they can thrive on. You know, they're a very, very good defensive team. Paul George is very good defensively as well. I don't think he gets enough credit for his play on that end of the floor. And now Granger is very much, you know, I'm sure he's happy for his team's success, but he looks like an extra part on that team. And with an expiring contract right around $14 million for next season, we could easily see him switching uniforms, you know, sooner rather than later.
I'm with you. I like Stevenson's toughness. I think he's been a real asset this year, and he is. I think the more he plays, the better he is. But he is very much a case of the good, the bad, the ugly last night. The good, 12 rebounds. The bad, he shot it poorly from the field, 2 of 10. And the ugly, 0 of 5 from beyond the arc. So if Stevenson plays well, and again, I think Indiana could have played better last night. That's the thing. They didn't shoot the ball especially well, at least by the numbers. They certainly had some clutch shots by Paul George, whether it was from the field or the line. But I think they can actually play better, and I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if this thing goes 7.
No, I don't think anyone will be surprised. You know, I think the Pacers showed us that, A, not only are they a team that can compete with the Heat, they're a team that can beat them if a few things go their way, but B, you know, this is going to be a grinded-out series, and the Pacers all season long, going back to the regular season now, have proven time and time again, you know, they're not just going to quit, even if they're down by 20 points in a game. This is a team that really, really plays with their heart on their sleeve. They're not going to go away. And, you know, even if they lose to the Heat like everyone expects them to this year, they're going to have a very bright future ahead. I mean, this is a team that's going to be a problem for a long time. So I like the direction of the Pacers, even if they do lose in these Eastern Conference Finals.
Ethan Norov of BleacherReport.com joining us in the zone. On the Western side of things, and that's something people around here are probably watching a little more closely, if only because the Heat are so close to us in proximity. Kind of a heartbreaker in the second game. You know, they did get themselves back in. They got blown out, of course, in game one. And I think most people are looking at Saturday as an awfully critical game for Memphis moving to their home arena.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, people were making similar remarks about Memphis when they went down to the Los Angeles Clippers, you know, and they got in that hole in the first round. But they can't afford to fall down 3-0 to this Spurs team. And I think San Antonio's starting to smell blood in the water a little bit. They have a chance to get Tim Duncan back to the finals, maybe win him a fifth ring. I think that's, you know, really motivating that group. Manu Ginobili is certainly not a spring chicken. And even though Tony Parker gets lumped in with the old guys unfairly, you know, he just turned 31 years old also. So
yeah.
I think San Antonio is never going to have, you know, at least for the rest of Tim Duncan's career over the next 2-3 seasons, a better chance to get to the NBA finals. And for that reason, I think the Spurs are going to be a very, very tough team for Memphis. And, you know, even if Memphis loses, much like Indiana, I think they have to consider it a win just to get to this point in the season.
I'm paraphrasing here, and I can't remember exactly what he said, but I saw him in an interview the other day and talking about Tony Parker, and he said something to the effect of, we would like to go out on top. It would be such a wonderful finish to our run here as an NBA team. Pass the wine and cheese, please. But when he talks about the end, he talked about the fact that he's got some time left. Who's going out? I mean, who do you think is going to finish? If they, let's say they win this year. Do you think there's a reaction by one of the guys that maybe that's enough, and whether it's Tim Duncan or someone else, do you think the run is over for these guys if they happen to pull it off?
You know, Manu Ginobili said earlier this season that he's going to play another couple of years, and Tim Duncan, much like Kevin Garnett, I think is very much in a year-to-year situation. But if the Spurs somehow win the title this season, I think you have to look at both of those guys and very seriously ask the question of, you know, is this the last time we're seeing them on a basketball court, specifically with Tim Duncan, who just, you know, his body doesn't get the recovery time it needs at this stage in his career, even though he was fantastic this season. Playoff basketball is a different animal than regular season basketball, and as I'm sure you guys know, Greg Popovich gives his team plenty of rest in the regular season. So, I mean, I think that's a very serious option for both Ginobili and Duncan. If they do win it all. But if they get to the title and fall short, that might be enough motivation for each of those guys to come back for at least one more run.
It's probably true. One last thing about Vinny Del Negro, or Vinny the Black as we like to call him, getting fired. I guess I wasn't shocked because there was a lot of smoke around that before they actually announced the decision. But and I'm not sure what exactly he did. Do you have a good feel for what the decision was, or why the decision was made, rather, what went into that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's very simple. You know, Chris Paul said, I want a new head coach, and Chris Paul runs the Los Angeles Clippers front office. In all sincerity, the Clippers will do anything and everything to keep Chris Paul because I think they realize how bad their team would be if Chris Paul left as a free agent. And Paul never endorsed Del Negro at any point in the season. In fact, there was one time where, you know, he was asked what the game plan was on offense, and Chris said, it's basically all me. You know, not giving any credit to Del Negro at all. And Donald Sterling said something to the effect of, you know, well, we made the decision in order to keep the players happy. And, you know, the most important player in that organization is Chris Paul, followed by Blake Griffin. So when you don't have the support from your star players, even if you guide the Clippers of all teams to successful seasons, you're going to be out real quick.
You think you'll have a job next year?
I think he might have a job in the media. I don't think he'll be offered a head coaching job. So I think he'll be employed, just not on the sideline.
Did I miss a hiring by Brooklyn, or are they still looking for a coach?
Brooklyn is still looking for a coach. I think they might be waiting on Brian Shaw. Obviously, he's still in the playoff picture with the Pacers. But I think they're also looking at a guy like Scott Skiles. You know, it was reported he might be a front runner this week as well. So, you know, I think whoever the next coach in Brooklyn is, they're going to want somebody who's going to hold the players a little bit more accountable than P.J. Carlissimo did, but not be maybe the type of drill sergeant that we saw from Avery Johnson early on.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they'll do. I know, you know, everybody, and I think even they would admit they were after Phil Jackson and thought that might be a possibility. Do you think he ends up in the league next year?
If Phil does end up in the league, it's going to be in a Pat Riley role. It's not going to be coaching on the sidelines. I think that's where he wants to make his mark. You know, his ties to the Lakers front office are quite obvious with his fiance owning the team, but you know, that dynamic with Jim Buss, Jeannie Buss, and Phil Jackson is certainly an interesting one. You throw Mitch Kupchak into there, and I'm not sure that's going to work out. So, you know, Phil said very honestly he had a deal with the Anson Ballmer Group, had the Kings been moved to Seattle, to take a front office role for the Seattle team. So I don't think he slammed the door on that option completely. And, you know, if the right scenario arises, he would jump all over it.
Ethan, appreciate the time very much. Thank you for coming on. We'll get you on again here soon, hopefully.
I appreciate you guys having me. Have a great
Thanks,
day.
Ethan. Have a good day.
Ethan Norov of BleacherReport.com. Again, we will get insight from a former player in Joe Klein later on in the show. A couple quick calls, and we'll take a timeout. It's 10:48 in the zone. Justin Akery joined in the Fury Electric studio by Christina LaCure. Gary.
Hey, Justin. Just had a question. Do you know what time, or not know what time, do you know what station, TV station, that the ball game is going to be on this afternoon?
It's Fox Sports Net for the Razorbacks today.
All right, cool. All right. Yeah. Thank you much. That's all I needed.
Appreciate it. I got a call from a couple guys yesterday. Were like, "Where's this game?" I'm like, "It's on CSS." They're like, "Ah."
A lot of guys I saw yesterday were all watching it on their computers. So watch it on your computer, listen to it on the bus.
Well, if you have satellite, you know, you can't get those, which is annoying for a lot of people. The weird thing is the semis are on ESPN News, which I've never watched a game on ESPN News before. But the SEC semis are on ESPN News, and the final Sunday, I believe, is on ESPN2, I want to say. I've got the bracket right here, and it says ESPN2.
Perfect.
I'm so smart. Danny.
What a game.
How about it? That is an instant classic, right?
Not so much the whole game, the baseball game, but that was incredible. I've been on the Heat bandwagon, been on there for about 3 years, and so I just enjoy watching D-Wade and LeBron. But D-Wade just—he looks overweight and he looks hurt.
Do you see how many pads he has on? It looks like he's like a hockey player. I was looking at that yesterday. I was like, this guy is ready to go like straight up rollerblading or playing hockey. Like he has pads throughout his whole entire body.
He didn't have skates on, did he?
Almost. He probably could have put those on.
Something weird.
He had elbow pads, knee pads.
Yeah, he looks like he's just barely put together right now. I mean, he's not the D-Wade of old, and he's not. I mean, he's explosive at times, not all the time anymore. So I'm a little worried about that, but it's going to be exciting. I'm still going to say Memphis and Miami. You got that, Justin? Memphis and Miami?
I actually like the Spurs now, but I would love to see Memphis and Miami. That could be fun. I'd actually like to see Memphis and Indiana, and the NBA suits would freak out.
That would be
Ooh,
awesome.
That's gross.
No, that would be so good.
They'd be great. It'd be old school hoops.
Would watch it.
Oh, yes, I would.
It'd be great defensive basketball, and most people don't care about that. They want their star power, and they want high-scoring games, but it would be fun to watch, I think.
I think it would be amazing if Memphis pulls it off this weekend and gets two games.
The two teams
Saturday.
I want to win are not going to win, so it doesn't matter.
Other than their barbecue, I have no use for Memphis at all, but Del Negro is wrong with what you said. I mean, I've read reports as well, and Chris Paul, he pushed himself out of that situation. He always has in the history of If you just know Chris Paul, I mean,
I don't know him. I've never met him.
He's never gotten involved with that kind of stuff, with the firing of coaches. He never has, and he's publicly said it. So,
well, that's what they always say. That doesn't mean he didn't.
No, most of them don't. Most of them, they just get an attitude, because most NBA players, let's agree, they're full brat.
They are.
NFL and baseball players. So,
give me that.
Chris Paul just doesn't seem that way. And he also said, and I know most of them say it, but he said himself time and time again, he's not involved in this. He couldn't preach that enough. And Del Negro did nothing but pimp Chris Paul. He loves Chris Paul. So I don't agree with that.
I don't know. I just know what people say. So
Brooklyn should hire Del Negro.
All right. Agree. That's exactly where I was going with that conversation. He didn't say it, but I was thinking the same thing. I think they could do a lot worse.
People need to get off Joe Johnson, man. He was hurt. That's why he went 2-for-14.
Boy, Joe's struggling.
He'll be back.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm just not sure he's the NBA superstar we want him to be, but he's one of the top couple complimentary players. But you know, he's got a great point guard, and he had a good year. I mean, they're fine. They had a disappointing playoff. I was a little surprised, honestly, they let Carlissimo go.
Yeah, he's never been a player's coach, even when he was young. He just never has. It's always been.
You're basing that on the fact that one guy choked him. I mean, come on.
No, where would you get such a thing?
Okay.
No, he really hasn't been a player's coach, and I'm glad they fired him. I've never been a big fan of his because he got choked and didn't defend himself. But I'm going to take Memphis in 7 and Miami to sweep Memphis 4-0.
Wow.
So Miami's going to struggle against Indiana.
I don't think they could sweep them.
Last night.
I don't think
they won't sweep them?
I don't think this team's good enough to sweep anybody, but we'll see. I think LeBron, if there was – they were totally healthy, it'd be different. I just, you know, you look around at the supporting cast, with, like you said, with D-Wade not at 100%. I mean, Bosch has his moments, but he's, I wouldn't say he's the most, you know, consistent player in the NBA. So, and then you got a bunch of role players who are, you know, pretty good at what they do, like Battier and those guys. But
why don't you go to my house? I'm making some fried chicken.
Thank you, Sergio. Appreciate it. Get a little paella with that. I do want to say we weren't on your stage. We didn't talk about it, but man, the team that needs it most got screwed again. Orlando gets screwed out of the lottery. Cleveland wins it.
No way, really?
Yes, it happens all the time. But Cleveland was the third favorite to win the overall top pick in the NBA,
and they got it.
I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I'm just not sure that it just. I hate it for Orlando. That just sucks. But whatever. I'm not gonna lose any sleep over because I'm not rooting for them anyway.